Welcome back to the KFIR Rundown. From WHQR Public Media, I'm your host, Camille Mojica. This week, Ben joins us to revisit the Wilmington Crime Lab lawsuit and go over some updates in the case. Stick around. Welcome back to the KFIR Rundown. I'm here with Ben Shockman. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Cammy.
We're revisiting a topic that we've talked about, I think it's like 10 episodes ago, almost 20. We have to revisit this topic.
This is what we've been calling the Crime Lab lawsuit.
Yes. Can you give us a quick background so we can refresh ourselves?
Sure. So once upon a time, the city of Wilmington opened up a crime lab at the Wilmington Police Department because there was just a huge backlog at the state level.
Okay.
And, you know, you got crimes that you can't prosecute until you get evidence. And the lab was never really fully funded. That's a whole other story. But the lab director was patching together grants and a little bit of city funding, and it just never really got there. And then at a certain point, it was closed, and there was a chemist who was fired for quote-unquote untruthfulness. And then the lab was reopened at the sheriff's office, although it's still physically in the Wilmington Police Department headquarters. And then things moved on. And that's what most people remember about this.
Okay. But we're calling it the Crime Lab lawsuit.
Yes. And that is because the former lab director, Bethany Pridgen, in the legal filings, if you want to look them up, she goes by Bethany Pridgen MacGillivray. That's her husband's name. But she goes by Bethany Pridgen, and that's how we've referred to her in a lot of the reporting.
Okay.
I know her as Bethany Pridgen. I've known her for a long time because I've been following this case for a long time.
Now there's updates in the case.
So at the broadest level, what the case alleges is that there was a chemist at the crime lab when it was operated by WPD, by Wilmington. And he was not just doing a sloppy job, which is what we knew publicly.
Okay.
But that because of him, drugs were going missing, which is very bad. Heroin was going missing. And this chemist, William Peltzer, had touched about 600 cases.
So, oh no. So
yes.
All those 600 cases, what happened?
So what happened was he was fired very publicly. You know, the city put out a press release. And then as Peltzer's supervisor, Bethany Pridgen was allowed to testify on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like slated to show up on behalf of the state at court cases. The particular court case was about this poor person who brought two pot brownies to work by accident. And her defense attorney, the defendant's defense attorney, grilled Bethany Pridgen, the lab director, on the stand about everything he had heard about this incident or incidents at the crime lab.
Okay.
And she, you know, she's under oath. And so she answered to the best of her ability. It's worth noting that the district attorney's office, the ADA, the prosecutor, didn't object to anything that she said.
Okay.
But she said, yeah, I was concerned that drugs were missing. I was concerned that he was taking them. I don't know for sure, but like.
Yeah.
This internally lit a wildfire.
Okay.
Because they were now concerned that the blood was in the water. Every defense attorney within the region was going to be like, oh, I'm going to get my case tossed. They ended up tossing maybe a couple dozen cases.
Okay.
Not 600 cases. And even though publicly this was presented as strictly being a financial issue, the transfer from Wilmington to the sheriff's office, it was, according to the lawsuit, really about minimizing damage and putting distance between the crime lab and what had happened.
Okay.
And I remember being there at the press conference, I believe this is 2019, when they were announcing that this was going to happen. And I asked the sheriff, are you going to rehire the employees? And he said, oh, well, you know, we got to go through the, you know, county HR process. But yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
But they didn't. They didn't rehire the crime lab director. And she alleges that this is because she basically, under oath, was forced to blow the whistle on what had really happened, and that in order to downplay the kind of shocking scope of how bad this could have been,
mm-hmm.
She was effectively elbowed out of the job due to sexism and a conspiracy, a civil conspiracy.
Okay.
She's also suing District Attorney Ben David for something called tortious interference. I may not be pronouncing that right. But basically it means like he stepped out of his lane to help her lose her job.
Okay.
Or lose her chance at getting this job that she should have gotten. Now, there's a whole bunch of new allegations recently that have come about as part of discovery, which is when everyone shares documents with each other. And the most recent filings actually include a new timeline of a lot of things that we hadn't seen before.
Okay, so what are some of those things?
So some of the things are much more concrete evidence that the firing of William Peltzer followed an internal affairs investigation.
Okay.
After he was fired, after that was made public, there was a second internal affairs probe that showed even more drugs were missing. The public was never told that drugs were missing.
In the first place?
In the first place. The letter that went out to the defense bar of New Hanover County,
okay,
notifying people like, hey, if you had a case that involved this guy, you should get in touch, did not mention that drugs were missing. Now, I'm not an attorney, but I know that what they were publicly saying was maybe a couple dozen cases were impacted. If they had publicly said drugs went missing, this impacted 600 cases, I think a lot more people would have looked into it.
Okay.
That's just what I think. And that's what the lawsuit implies, is that there was a lot of work done to prevent that from happening.
Okay.
The other stuff that has come out is that the hiring process at the sheriff's office seems to have been rather sketchy. Again, these are allegations, just to be clear. But it looks like when Bethany Pridgen, the former lab director, applied for her own, basically the same job she was doing, but now at the county, there was a hiring panel that rated her, and they rated her very strongly.
Okay, but she still didn't get the job.
Yes, and all of that paperwork was apparently destroyed.
Destroyed?
Yes, which is a violation, again, an allegation, but allegedly that paperwork that showed how well she was graded, both for her own job and as just like a lab technician position, she applied for both, that material was destroyed, which is apparently a violation of sheriff's office policy, which makes sense. Why would you destroy HR paperwork like that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It just sounds like a bad idea. And then the other new thing is that some evidence from the depositions which have taken place are starting to creep into the filings. So these are on-the-record interviews, often video interviews. I believe so far, from what I can tell from paperwork, they have done depositions for Wilmington Police Chief Donnie Williams, current police chief,
okay,
former police chief Ralph Evangelist, who seems to be generally supportive of the lab director, Bethany Pridgen, and kind of admits that, like, yes, we did talk about there being 600-some cases.
Okay.
Some other top staff at WPD, District Attorney Ben David and Sheriff Ed McMahon, and maybe some other people at the sheriff's office.
Okay.
One of the things that has come out is that it appears that although Ben David had publicly said, again, allegations, had publicly said he didn't know much about what was going on, he was quite active behind the scenes. And either in an interview or in his deposition, I'm not 100% sure, said that Bethany Pridgen had been extremely irresponsible. The exact language that's quoted in a filing was that her testimony, that testimony I was talking about during that Pop Brownie case,
yes,
was the height of irresponsibility, and said that she had no basis to tell the jury that the chemist was an addict who was using drugs at work.
But did she say that?
She did not say that. And he, again, according to these court filings, Ben David admitted that he had never read the transcript of her trial testimony and had relied on what other people had told him, which is hearsay, you know, secondhand information, to be this mad at her. And so, again, these are all allegations, but the picture it is painting was that everyone was very upset at her and she was cut out of the loop. After she made this testimony, there's also some evidence that they, cut her access to email and other services at the city of Wilmington before her tenure actually ended. She went out on leave, so the city claims that's why they did it. But it just looks like they were already trying to cut her off.
Yeah.
And then the hiring process also was very squirrely. The paperwork that should have showed she was the most qualified candidate, or at least a very highly qualified candidate, was destroyed, and someone else who was less qualified was hired. and I've done some reporting on this, because of the way they did this, it was over a year, it might even have been 2 years, before the lab was really functional.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they were paying a full staff, but everyone had to go back and get reaccredited. It was a mess. And I did, at one point, do a sit-down interview with some staff at the sheriff's office, and they, you know, we can put a link
yeah.
to that. But this was not a smooth transition. It doesn't appear, again, from the allegations in the court filings, that it went by the book. And the bottom line allegation here was that she became a pariah. Bethany Pridgen, the former lab director, became a pariah because she told the truth under oath, and it made the local prosecutors and cops and everyone in law enforcement look bad.
But she was under oath.
But she was under oath. I don't know what she could have done differently. So we'll still have to see how this plays out. There's a whole series of back and forth. The most recent time I went to the courthouse, the port clerk had to carry this stack of filings. It is now over a foot tall.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I remember when it was just one manila envelope.
Yeah.
Like one sort of binder, you know, maybe a couple inches. Now it's well over a foot. It's a very heavy stack of papers.
So how long has this been going on for now?
Years and years and years. We're into our second or I think we're into our third year now.
Okay.
And, you know, there are various defenses being made. The insurance companies are involved now. One other issue that we'll probably get into in the reporting as this moves along is that government officials like sheriffs and police chiefs and district attorneys usually have some version of governmental immunity
mm-hmm.
where they cannot – you can't sue them for doing their job unless
– Unless what?
Unless your constitutional rights are violated. That was a 2016 court case here in North Carolina, actually here in New Hanover County.
Really?
Yeah. That set the precedent that if your constitutional rights are violated, then you can sue the government. And that really changed the game because before that, there were all kinds of documented terrible things that happened, mostly in school districts where, you know, parents and kids tried to sue the school district and just couldn't because they had sovereign immunity or governmental immunity. That changed in 2016. So the argument that Bethany Pridgen is making is that she has a constitutional right to enjoy the fruits of her labor.
Okay.
And that because basically Ben David, again, allegedly from her point of view, interfered and cost her the job because people at the Wilmington Police Department allegedly trash-talked her and because the sheriff's office did something sketchy here that doesn't look like it follows policy, those are her allegations. And together, that's like everyone kind of collectively formed a conspiracy to violate her constitutional rights to do her job and enjoy the benefits of that. So that's the argument. And they have gone round and round and round with this. And there still, as I can tell, hasn't quite been a decision. Ben David was removed from the case. He was added back to the case. It is it's a labyrinth of motions and counter motions. But I do hope that some point this year we will either see a settlement or an actual trial.
Okay. Well, Ben, thank you for covering this case for how many years? 3 years?
It's been a while. I gotta go back and look how far I've been doing this. The story goes back really to 2019 when we first found out about this. So in a way, I guess I've been covering it for 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was April. I think it was April of 2019 when the crime lab got transferred. So it's been a while.
It has been.
Yeah, it was April of 2019 when they had the press conference.
Wow, 2019.
Yes, just a quick note here: it's the number of reporters who have like come in and out of our town since this story broke. I think it was February of 2019 when William Pelter was fired, and that press release went out. And we were all like, "Whoa, what the hell?"
So there's been a lot of turnover in terms of the local journalists that have been here.
Yeah, I mean, there's just only a handful of people who even remember the beginning of this. So I have to cover this because no one else remembers yeah. the beginning of the story. It's like walking into like the middle of the second episode, the second installment of Lord of the Rings, and you're like, wait, what?
What is happening?
Where are they going?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Ben, thank you for covering the story for the past 5 years, and thank you for keeping your eyes on it.
Oddly enough, I am happy to do it.
Thank you for being on the show with me this week. Thank you so much for listening to the Cape Fear Rundown. Check out our show notes for relevant links and titles to the music we used this week. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just general feedback, feel free to get in touch. You can shoot me an email at cmojica, that's M-O-J-I-C-A, at whqr.org, or you can find me on X at Cami Reports. I'd love to hear from you. I'm your host, Camille Mojica, and I'll see you next week.